We are at the Festival de la Bande Dessinée d'Angoulême with Peter G. Tomasi. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
And Yann Bertram, nice to meet you too.
Et toi?
Bien? En français? Non.
Non, non, excusez-moi pour ma terrible français.
We are here to talk about your comic books, Dans l'antre de la pénitence for Glénat edition in French. Who got the idea first? The editor in USA or one of you?
Me. Peter Tomasi here. I had always been fascinated by the story of Sarah Winchester back when I was younger, so it's been a percolating, moving in my head for quite some time, and it's something I've always wanted to bring to life, and luckily now, with Ian's amazing art, we've been able to do that.
How did you discover this incredible house of the Winchester?
I was in Salinas, California, at the writer John Steinbeck's house, which is a museum there, and we heard some other people talking about this, the Winchester Mystery House in San Jose, California, not very far. So the things they were saying sounded very odd and strange, and it was intriguing at the same time. So we were going to go visit the house, because it was only an hour away, and we went to visit it, but it was closed, so we weren't able to go. But over the years, I was taking many notes about ideas that were coming to me about the house and the story, and eventually I had used those notes to pitch a story to a movie producer, Andrew Loren, Ralph Loren's son, the designer, and he loved it. I wrote the screenplay, and nothing ever happened. So years had passed, actually, and then he was kind enough, I had said, with my contacts in the comic book business, having been working in comics for 23 years, I said, you know, could I get the book rights myself and try to make this a book? And he was like, sure, go ahead. So ended up finding Ian to do the art for it, and we pitched it to Dark Horse, and that was it. We were on our way.
So here you are for this project. What did you loved in this project?
I love broken characters, broken people, and I mean Sarah Winchester she's consumed by guilt, and the way that she translates that is to build like almost like an altar, like something that you worship at, like. But the altar is this house, and I thought that was great. And then when I read the screenplay, there were so many elements of just like that were visually exciting, and then also the constant stream of like this building horror that I thought would be really cool to play around with. Plus, it was a screenplay, so I got to work with the pacing and to break down the issues. So like in like issues, like, so there were 6 issues, but so there were many reasons, but definitely the terror and the guilt and the fear and all that. Yeah.
Did you thought to the character in the same way, and is the house the main character?
Definitely, the house is a character in my mind, in the story. It's living and it's breathing in a way. So, and I think that when you take an inanimate object like that and infuse it with a sort of organic feel, especially the way Ian does, it makes it even more terrible and terrifying. Sarah doesn't look anything like she does in real life, the way Ian drew her. But what I love about Ian's drawings with Sarah is just the windows of her eyes, the expressiveness and the sometimes the vast emptiness and loneliness, and that will too, also that very strength also behind those eyes. So it was he encapsulated everything that I would hope, you know, in the story, and brought her to life.
About the eyes, I may say a spoiler alert, but in the end of the book, we can see Warren Peck, who look through a window and see stuff. I mean weapons, and this look. I know that sometimes author drawer work with a mirror, but how did you find that look?
Well, I was thinking that they're almost like a drug for him. So he was a very violent man, and but there's a strength in that type of horror where if you accept that you're terrible, you excuse your behavior, right? You can get away with something for yourself, right? But he was trying to be better, right? And then he's looking through that window at his old self, and the addiction to that violence and that self that was assured, where the new self is, you know, it's harder to build things when you don't have a base level. And I think that's what I was thinking of for him. So he's looking at them like an old lover, or, you know, this like covetous, you know, possessive thing.
To work for comic books, for us it's one book, and for you it's six chapters, so six issues. Did you build all the book in one way, as it was for a screenplay first? Did the screenplay for the comic books was done before Jan began to draw? Or did you change some stuff issue after issue?
Once Ian decided he wanted to draw from the screenplay, because I asked him at one point I could have broken the script down into a comic script, you know, panel by panel. But Ian then decided he liked the way the screenplay was and allowed him some freedom with the storytelling aspect of it. So at that point, once we decided that was going to happen, we did have to speak about where each issue would end. Mm-hmm. So it left the reader wanting more, obviously, the cliffhanger, yeah, so to speak. But we knew that once... We knew it would be collected later on also in a trade paperback. So after the six issues came out, then Dark Horse Comics put it in one volume, and then Glenat obviously published it here. So, but we always knew that each of those issues had to have a cliffhanger to bring an audience back each month. So.
And for you to work like that, to have six issues and to know that there will be one book after, does it change the way you... Not the way you draw, but... The mise-en-scène?
Mise-en-scène, oui. I want to say yes. I'm not sure. I think what changed it more for me was the screenplay aspect, because it felt like it was like a true collaboration where I could take parts of the story and pace them the way that I thought would work very well in a comic. And then hopefully the idea was that over the six issues that it would build. I mean, the screenplay builds as well, you know. So I guess the answer to your question is no. Sorry.
Yeah, I think it's. I think the thing is, what's great about working in a project like this is that, you know, we had a finished story. It was all there. So when, you know, I didn't, like on regular comics, if it was just, okay, Ian, here's the next issue, he wouldn't know what was coming. But he was able to read everything in one, one story and understand where it was going. And so I think that informs your drawing as an artist, to be able to see a whole story in one place.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the next project I'm working on is very similar, where I have a lot of freedom with the timing and the panels and the pages, which I actually got to explore with Peter. So, yeah.
In the way you draw the character, there is a lot of little string, and sometimes it's really naive, especially for the girls. How did you choose that? Is it an agreement between you two, or is it just your freedom?
And I liked it.
Yeah. I mean, I like putting the lines into people to sort of show the time that they've spent, and the people who have the more lines think they've lived in more pain, maybe, and then hopefully that it translates to experience and wisdom. Not always, and the girl and the niece, the blonde hair, she's innocent, you know, and I wanted to visually portray her in that way, so I didn't. It's very simple now that I'm talking about it, but you know, like more lines equals older, less
more lines
equals,
yeah, more
right? Yeah, yeah, but I like the idea of people being marked, and then also the marks that I'm making being like a tribute to their time spent on, in a story.
a word about the cover, the French cover. Why this one? How did it happen? Because there is sometimes a story behind the cover, and especially for a six-issue comics.
Yeah. Our editor, Olivier Chalabert, I can never pronounce his last name, was amazing, and he said, you know, it would be really cool if you did a new cover for the French release, and was very hands-off, let me do essentially whatever I wanted, and I just thought that would be an image that would be compelling and explain sort of a bit of what the book was about. I don't know if that's a very interesting story, but that's the... Yeah.
We are in Angoulême on Saturday. What people ask you when you throw them for the dédicace, for the signing session?
You mean what characters did they ask for? Most people asked for Sarah, which, you know, I love. She's actually based on my partner, Ina. And so it's, you know, it's fun to... I just draw her. She's my muse. I just draw her again and again and again. Most people asked for Sarah. One person asked for Superman, who was covered in blood. But, you know, I drew it. Yeah, it was fun. So, yeah.
And for the signing session, do you do something? Because
what I'll do in the signing sessions is Ian will draw the sketch first, okay. Sarah or Peck or whoever, and then I'll draw a balloon. I'll put in some dialogue and I'll do a balloon with a tail and then sign my name.
So you've got to choose between five different elements, between the glasses of Clark Kent, the basket of the little red riding hood, the shoes of Marty McFly, the violin of Sherlock Holmes, or the hat of Indiana Jones. Which one would you pick?
Me, hat, right away. Indiana Jones's hat. I'll take that one.
I mean, that's a good choice. Who's the violinist?
Sherlock Holmes.
Maybe the basket. I don't know. I like Little Red Riding Hood. She has a lot of... She's an archetype. She has a lot of history. So maybe the basket.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.